You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. Play in Alberta, everything stays in Alberta. Revenues from Play Alberta stay in the province. You can help get the Henday built. Shogger, the Edmonton Oilers, going at it again tonight, taking on the Buffalo Sabres. And let's start the, you know, the Oilers last night. Hey, third period again, really good. Leon Draisaitl just continues to be a goal scorer. Like that, I know it was a terrible giveaway by Carlo, but it's a great shot. And then I want to start with Cody Ceci. I think Cody Ceci has had a pretty solid year, but man, like that, his play on the game-winning goal to set up Draisaitl, then he had the little stick fake, so he opens up the lane and then scores. Like, man, Cody Ceci's, I think, been better than people thought he could be.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, people who know his game really well and have followed him will tell you that he is a bit of an up-and-down player. So he'll go stretches where he really struggles, and then he'll have some stretches where he can be really good. And I think the stretch in Pittsburgh was a good stretch. I think there were some other stretches that obviously weren't so good. But I think coming in here, you know, people focused a lot on the contract, and rightfully so. But really, when you're in season and your roster is set and you can afford to put all your players on the ice and so they go play, the contract doesn't matter so much, and it's more about what are you doing? How are you playing? What elements are you bringing? And how are you helping? Are you pushing it in the right direction? And I think for the most part this year, my sense is CeCe has moved things in the right direction. He's far from the perfect player. And it was funny listening to Draisaitl talk about him last night. I think he said he's not the prettiest guy to watch, which I thought was funny. But then he was very complimentary of all the other things he brings. So I agree with you. I think CeCe has, I think he's done his job so far. I think he came in with a ton of scrutiny and a fair amount of pressure, quite frankly. And I think he's done a really good job, but he's no stranger to playing in the Canadian market, and you know, he's used to that.
Yeah, the interesting thing for me is I see a lot. Oh, 3.25 million. Well, I crunched some numbers on Cody Ceci, right? And when you look around the, like, he's basically paid like a number four defenseman, and he's playing, his minutes played and his overall production of points and shots on goal is actually well above that. He's been really solid, so far this year. Obviously, you know, unfortunately took that puck in the ear late in the game, but, he'll be fine tonight. But him and Duncan Keith, like, and we've talked about this a little bit, Shogger, but I watched it again last night, and where they're so much better than previous pairs of the Oilers is around the net. You just don't see there, like, they don't make a ton of mistakes within 6 feet of their net.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think they, you know, Keith isn't the biggest guy, but he kind of understands body positioning, and he can be fairly crafty in the way he tries to win some battles against bigger guys. Again, it's not perfect, and they're not, I wouldn't say that they are the prototypical second pairing on a championship team. And you talk about CeCe being paid like a second pairing defenseman. Well, they did. They paid him like a second pairing defenseman, but in fairness, I think there was some question as to whether or not he was a second pairing defenseman coming into this season, and maybe he's more suited to a third pairing. So they're paying him what they're hoping that he will be. But I think so far he has been, and I agree with you. They do a good job around their net. They're reliable. You can tell the coaches don't mind having them out there. They're playing quite a bit, and in most situations. So I think so far, so good. For, to my eye and ear, what was the most talked about and the biggest trepidation for Oilers fans coming into this season was what they were going to get from Keith and CeCe. I think so far it's probably been pretty good, and even those who were hardest on the trade would probably say, or I don't want to put words in their mouth, but that it hasn't been as bad as some thought it would be. And in fact, it's been pretty good.
Yeah, Ryan Rashog from TSN joins us. Stuart Skinner goes back at it tonight, and you know,
think about
and it makes sense. I get it why they would do it. And, you know, he played well in Detroit outside of the one stick handling gap, but that's more of a stick handling thing, not a goaltending thing for me. So I thought his overall play and positioning was good. And the thing is, like, Mikko Koskinen, as sound as he is, Mikko Koskinen still can't eliminate, well, and he'll never eliminate completely, but he hasn't reduced his kind of weak goalitis. And last night, the third goal, that can't go in. right? A point shot. He overplays it. It beats him. And you saw his reaction. He knew it. And I just think, you know, if Stuart Skinner plays really well against Shauger tonight, I think there's a really good chance we see him again next week and then again on that doubleheader, the back-to-back the following week.
Yeah, I mean, let's see. I think, is the door open for a goaltender that comes in and plays fantastic? Sure. Skinner made a massive mistake in the game he played, played well other than that, and so good on him. It's so early in his career. It's so early that, you know, he could play well for three or four games and then really, really struggle, like a lot of NHL rookies do. There's a long way to go in terms of figuring out what he is at the NHL level. And so he's starting 2 out of 3 here. Good opportunity for him. If he plays well, sure, ride the hot hand if you want to. Get him into another game sooner rather than later. If he continues to earn it, then all good. I'm just a little bit more cautious in terms of projecting what another good start might mean for him. What it means for him is that he came in and played well in 2 games. And that's great. We see all the time young players come up from the American League and play well in a couple of games, and doesn't mean they're ready to be in the NHL forever. And so I'm willing to be open to the idea that he's developed enough to be an NHL backup. Maybe he is there. But let's see.
Ryan Oshog from TSN joins us. Shauger, I rarely get on the officials. I think it's a very tough job. Last night I thought it was one of the worst officiated games I've seen. You know, they set the bar. They said, okay, we're going to call everything tonight on Leon Draisaitl's early penalty. I'm like, okay. And then they completely went away from it. There's missed calls both ways late. There's two on McDavid. There's the one on Boston's second goal. Hyman gets tripped right in the slot, clear as day, and Boston scores. Then Hyman, hits Carlo in the back, right in the numbers, no penalty. Like, at some point, the ones that bothered me were those two where the official is literally staring at the puck carrier right in front of them on McDavid trip and Carlo hit from behind and there's no calls. Like, it's that something has to change in the NHL. Like, those calls shouldn't be missed.
The only thing I can think of on the McDavid play, the only thing I can think of is that there were basically two guys trying to get him. And the guy closer to him got his stick towards the puck and tried to take that out. And I don't think that guy tripped him. It was the player diving, right? The player that had the stick between the legs. But it's not an excuse. It's right in front of you. It's so obvious. And then the other thing that frustrated me about that game is just that whole game management thing. So, you know, they went in after that period and looked at it, saw how brutal the non-call was. So what do? They come out with a ticky-tacky call on Boston because they're trying to manage the game. Like, I was watching the game with my brother and the whistle blew and I didn't see the penalty, but it was early on in the period. And I looked at him and said, this is going to be a terrible call. This has makeup call written all over it. Because you just know they go in there and watch and realize, ah, crap. Well, now they come out and they start overhandling it. So overhandling game management, missing obvious stuff, calling stuff that shouldn't be called. The worst non-call that I had was Hyman. I mean, that was just, he just hit the guy from behind and ran him into the board. Like, you can't, Zach Hyman's not a dirty player, but that was a dirty hit, and you can't make that hit. And he should have a penalty for it, and the league needs to get that hit out of the game. So, start to finish, terrible performance from the referees last night. And in the bigger picture, Greg's, the question is, what did the Oilers do about this? Because this is a narrative that's been going on for quite a while. We've talked about it constantly, because, you know, fans are frustrated. I'm not convinced that McDavid needs to be the one screaming from the hilltops, but it might be time for somebody to take a fine on his behalf. Might be time for that. You know, McDavid can lobby the officials on the ice. He can talk to them respectfully during commercial breaks. He can let the rest of the world yell and scream at all the non-calls. I just don't know that he can go off. I don't think it's his to do. We might be getting into that range where it's time for somebody to take a fine for him and get loud about this thing.
Yeah, no, that's fair. It's definitely Because being quiet hasn't helped. And McDavid didn't even, like, McDavid looked back at the ref and just kept playing. Like, he didn't show up the official or, like, I'm not sure what else he can do at that point. Like, he says nothing, didn't say anything after the game. You know, Dave Tippett just said, hey, oh, like, when he was asked, and that's probably as much as Tippett has said all year, where he just said, yeah, I noticed it. And he was the one who pointed out, hey, the ref set the standard and then didn't adhere to the standard. And that's what's frustrating. What? So players have no idea what's going on from game to game, shift to shift.
You know what I liked from Connor last night was I like when Puljujarvi put him offside. He was frustrated and didn't show him up too much. Then he had the iPad out, and look how animated he was. And that just shows there's this competitive level with him where he's willing to do that now that I think is going to serve him really well. Hey, this is where the standard is. If you're going to play with me, get the standard up. And to expect that from guys and demand that from guys and not just, you know, be polite about it, I think that's a really good thing.
Oh, I would agree with you. And it's funny because, yes, Puljujarvi, there was a Finnish article, and it got translated, and he talked about that. He said, you know what, on the bench, guys get vocal, but we love each other. That's just how you want to get better. And good teams will have that every now and then. You know, you see Draisaitl and McDavid sometimes too, right? And they'll say certain things in Draisaitl, and that's you. And as long as McDavid can take it, when, you know, because if a defenseman comes to him and says, hey, dude, like, you missed your man, that's unacceptable, then I think it's going to work both ways, right? It's got to be where his teammates are as comfortable every now and then to say something on the rare time when he makes an error.
Yeah, no, it's for sure. It's all in the dynamic, right? And, you know, the relationships between the individual players, the way it works in the locker room. I just think it's healthy that McDavid, in a game like that, that, you know, they desperately, like, they wanted to win that game. They get up for games against Boston. That something like that happens, he's on Puljujarvi, they're talking pretty look to be pretty firmly about it, and, you know, corrections are made, and that Puljujarvi is comfortable enough now with his teammates and in his place in that locker room and with the situation to have that conversation and go out and keep pushing hard and playing well and nobody pouts. Like, those are healthy things, and Brad Marchand has talked about their bench and the way their bench has been over the years. There's a lot of that on their bench too, but it's when a group has played together for a while. That's part of how you can push for another standard, is to find a way to make each other a little bit uncomfortable within the confines of your, you know, love and respect as teammates, and make each other a little uncomfortable in pushing for more. And, you know, we see that a little bit from Connor, and I think that's a sign of leadership. I think that's a sign that this group is actually closer than maybe they have been in the past, that we're seeing those things.
Shogar, it'll be an interesting one against Buffalo tonight. We'll see what Stuart Skinner does. The Oilers have scored five or more goals in 9 of 12 games. So I'm taking the over tonight against the struggling Buffalo Sabres. Have a good one.
You too, pal. Enjoy all the sports over the next few days. It's going to be a fun few days. We've got lots of fun.
It's going to be awesome. Awesome, yes.